Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the JMRA podcast. I am your host, Joe Montana's right arm, as we bring you a review of week one of the National Football League and the first NFL Sunday. I can't tell you how happy I am that the NFL season is off and running. So what we do each Sunday is we go through the games that took place, and we try to do it in a quick and orderly fashion. I'm not going to give you like an hour dissertation on games. It's by the time you listen to this, if you're listening to this right away, Monday morning / afternoon, you don't have time to listen to like 2-hour podcast about zone reads and zone blitzes and stuff. So I'm not going to do that to you. So we're going to get through as quick as we can the Sunday slate. We'll briefly touch on what happened on Thursday night as well. But before we do that, let's give you the social media rundown. It's Twitter, Joe M's Right Arm, on Twitter at Joe M's Right Arm. You can check us out on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com, and on Facebook by simply searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. Well, without further ado, let's get going to the game of the week.
The Cardinals down two, sidesteps left, now in the staggered stance, waits on the snap. Delivered low, off the ground, the kick, airborne to the uprights. That kick is
hooked.
No good!
Yeah.
He hooked it left!
He hooked it left!
The snap, short hop, Butler, the holder, the officials under the goalpost, late with the ruling, and Panizzero missed it left, and the Patriots still lead by two with 36 seconds to go here in the season opener.
Way to ice him, Billy boy. How dare we question him?
And my goodness, how do you decide what exactly the game of the week is after really a fantastic set of games in week one? A lot of close games played in week one, and interestingly enough, it was the last game that gets the odd as game of the week. The New England Patriots go into Arizona with Jimmy Garoppolo to win 23-21. The Patriots were up by 10 points on two occasions in this game. They were up 10-0 and then led 17-7. Jimmy Garoppolo did a great job in this game, leading the Patriots back when they fell behind 21-20 to the Cardinals in the fourth quarter. 271 yards, 24 of 33 for Jimmy G, and a touchdown. He did commit a turnover. He was stripped and sacked by former teammate Chandler Jones earlier on in the contest. But really here, the critical stretch, late in the game, the Cardinals have the football and a chance to win the game. Chandler Cannizzaro misses a 47-yard field goal that would have won the game. Interesting strategy here by the Cardinals. They used all three of their timeouts with about, I'd say maybe 4.5 minutes left to go in the game. They didn't have any timeouts, and that really put them behind the eight ball for that final drive, because by the time the Patriots got the ball back, not really a lot needed to be done. They just needed to take a knee, and they won the game. So they win it 23-21. Fantastic game in week one between the Cardinals and the Patriots. And hey, Larry Fitzgerald had a fantastic game. 8 catches, 81 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He was a monster down the stretch for the Cards. And it's a bad loss for Arizona, because this is who Arizona is starting to become, the team that can't get it done against the good teams. We saw it in the playoffs last year. They were a hot mess against Carolina. And now they host the Patriots without Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and somehow lose in their building. That's a bad loss for the Cardinals, and I think a bad sign for them in the future in terms of this season. Now, as for the rest of the games, Tampa Bay 31, Atlanta 24. I like Tampa Bay a lot. I think Tampa Bay could very well be a playoff team this year. Jameis Winston, 4 touchdowns. There's going to be a shifting of power this year in the NFL amongst quarterbacks. No more Peyton Manning. Tom Brady is another year older. Aaron Rodgers is another year older. We're starting to see the next wave of guys kind of step up and come to the forefront. I think Jameis Winston may be one of those guys. And don't throw anything at your computer or at whatever device this is playing out of. I'm seeing just a tinge from Tampa Bay, a little of that triplets feel. Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman. I know that's blasphemy because all three guys were Hall of Famers, and I'm extremely biased because my brother is tight with Mike Evans. But nonetheless, I smell triplets right there. A young, maybe grade or two below the legit triplets of Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. But nonetheless, a big-time threat in Tampa. Atlanta, another terrible loss. They were 1-for-4 in the red zone. And they lose at home. They lose a lot of these games like this at home in their building. Bad sign of things to come. Baltimore 13, Buffalo 7, awful ball game. The Bills had 160 yards of total offense. Joe Flacco in his return contest after injury, 258 yards and a touchdown. If you're John Harbaugh, I mean, you'll take it. You have to feel good that at least Joe Flacco got some confidence back in what he is doing after suffering that serious knee injury at the end of the 2015 season. Houston 23, Chicago 14. Lamar Miller, big day for the Texans, 106 yards rushing. Will Fuller, 107 yards receiving and a touchdown. We talked about triplets. Maybe two out of the three here. Brock Osweiler was a little up and down on Sunday against the Bears. J.J. Watt, he's been battling injuries during the offseason. He had just an assist on Sunday, so that'll be a thing to keep an eye on if you're a Texans fan. Speaking of things to keep your eyes on if you're a Bears fan, the Bears defense allowed the Texans to go 12 of 20 on third down conversions. That's 60% for those who are mathematically challenged. That's dreadful. Green Bay 27, Jacksonville 23. The Jags missed a 4th-and-1 in the red zone late in the contest. This was another, and we've seen a few of these games this week where teams managing the clock were just so bad. In Jacksonville, another one, just didn't have a timeout to use late in that game, and it cost them dearly. Aaron Rodgers, under 200 yards passing, but had really one of the great plays of the year, the young year so far, with a touchdown pass to Davante Adams as he was literally falling down, got the pass off and nailed the touchdown strike to Adams, one of two touchdown tosses on the day for Aaron Rodgers. Eddie Lacy, 61 yards on the ground. Blake Bortles, 320 yards, a touchdown. Jacksonville, I watched this game a fair amount between this and the Eagles and the Browns game. I like what I saw from Jacksonville, but we'll see whether or not they can kind of keep that up as the season wears on. Kansas City 33, San Diego 27. What an embarrassing loss for San Diego. They led 27-10 in the fourth quarter and blew this game, and they lose Keenan Allen, their star wide receiver, to a torn ACL. Probably out for the year, you would have to think. Alex Smith for the Chiefs, 363 yards, two touchdowns, and a rush touchdown to win as well. Spencer Ware, the replacement for Jamaal Charles this week, 197 yards of total offense. If you don't have him on your fantasy roster, you better make sure you take care of that soonish, just for insurance purposes, especially if you have Jamaal Charles on your roster. The Oakland Raiders 35, the New Orleans Saints 34. The Raiders win despite giving up over 400 yards, I believe, to Drew Brees through the air. Brees connecting with Brandon Cooks on a 98-yard touchdown strike, which was a big, big play for that passing game, obviously. But the Raiders were able to survive. Late touchdown drive by Derek Carr and the Raiders to propel them to, interestingly enough, make it 34-33, but Jack Del Rio says, no, I'm going to actually go for two here instead of kicking the extra point to tie the game up, and it paid off because they get the two-point play and in turn are able to turn things around a little bit on the Saints. The Saints unable to get a 61-yard field goal at the gun to get through the uprights. Instead, it's the Raiders who win it by the score of 35-34. The Bengals coming from behind on the road to beat the Jets 23-22. Mike Nugent, 47-yard field goal towards the end of the game to put the Bengals up for good. Andy Dalton, 366 yards. A.J. Green, 12 catches, 180 yards, and a touchdown. Now, this is the number they gave out on NFL Network. Andy Dalton threw to A.J. Green 10 times while he was guarded by Darrell Revis, all-pro corner, all-world corner, one of the great corners really of the last 25 years, and he completed all 10 passes. That is troubling if you are a Jets fan. I don't remember the last guy who was able to pull that off. Well, I hope somebody can check into that. I can't even tell you who the last guy was that did that. If it's ever happened, that is an uncommon thing to see against Darrell Revis. And Revis Island, they were building some Applebee's, some condominiums, some hotels, some Froyo shops on Revis Island. It was ugly. The Eagles, 29-10 winners over the Browns. Carson Wentz, TD on his first drive of the day. A nice strike to Jordan Matthews. The offense stalled a little bit after that, but they got on track to eventually subdue the Browns, who were just awful on offense. A lot of drop passes, some bad coaching decisions by Hugh Jackson, the head coach. Not really what I would call a game that you can put really much on the shoulders of Robert Griffin III. I just thought he had a bad supporting cast, including his head coach. The Eagles, they grabbed the win, and it's a good way to start for Carson Wentz, a big confidence boost to the rookie. Elsewhere, the Minnesota Vikings 25, Tennessee 16. The Vikings actually trailed in this game 10-0 at halftime. They scored all 25 points in the second half. Look, they do need Sam Bradford soon because Sean Hill in that offense, you can't afford those type of starts against the better teams in the league. And they play Green Bay next Sunday night in Minnesota. So they're going to have to figure out a way to maybe have a better start offensively against the Packers than they did against Tennessee. Luckily, Tennessee is really trying to tackle that ground and pound approach, and they only got 16 points out of it today. Seattle, 12. Miami, 10. This was one of the weirdest games of the day. So Russell Wilson gets hurt, and they weren't playing well even before he injured his ankle, but it was a very close, tight-to-the-vest, low-scoring game. Wilson suffers that injury and really just had to limp through the remainder of the contest. He was able to get enough going for Seattle to grab the two-point win, 12-10. Miami had just 214 yards of total offense. Ryan Tannehill, 186 through the air. Miami, that offense did not look good at all. The Giants sneak by the Cowboys 20-19. Dak Prescott actually looked okay. I didn't think he looked bad at all. He had some maybe some misfortune with a couple plays where, you know, Dez Bryant isn't able to hold on to footballs at times. He was pretty quiet against the Giants. And, of course, to play to end the game, the Giants are leaving the Cowboys by one. And Prescott completes a pass to Terrence Williams with under 10 seconds left. Instead of heading towards the sideline, Williams, for some reason, headed towards the middle of the field. He got tackled. The Cowboys had no timeouts left. Boom, end of game. They couldn't get to the line quick enough, and that really was all she wrote. Detroit 39, Indianapolis 35. Another brutal loss for the Colts, this time at home. Matthew Stafford, 340 yards and three touchdowns through the air. Andrew Luck, 385 and four touchdowns in the loss. The Lions really had control of this from the jump, 21-10 at the half, but the Colts battled back until Matt Prater connected on a game-winning field goal to give the Lions a 37-35 lead at the end of the game or near the end of the game, and then just a ridiculous series. If you have a chance to find it on YouTube, where the Colts ended up throwing the ball back and forth for what seemed like 30 seconds, trying to get maybe a good return to possibly set up either a field goal, but they took so much time they couldn't even get that done. And it ended up being a situation where they threw the ball out of bounds in the end zone, but in the process had thrown a forward pass in the end zone, which was deemed a safety. So that's why, despite the Prater field goal, the final score 39-35. So the Lions get a couple of extra points on the back end. And then the final game, Denver 21, Carolina 20 from Thursday night. Trevor Siemian looked relatively decent for the Broncos. They have to be satisfied with that. C.J. Anderson was a monster against Carolina. The Broncos, man, I'll tell you what, they're a dirty defense. All those shots to the head that Cam Newton took on Thursday night, just ridiculous. And the Broncos, very fortunate that many of those plays were not called. And the Panthers, unable to get a win, missed field goal late by Graham Gano, and Carolina was unable to defeat Denver again as the Broncos win the Super Bowl rematch against the Panthers. What we'll do right now is take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap it up here. This is the JMRA Podcast. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Exit 58 Podcast.
I mean, we're in a movement with robots right now, and sex robots is the wave of the future, allegedly.
You agree with that? Are you okay with that?
No. Why would you want to have sex with a robot?
I wouldn't do it, but you seem very accepting of it, though.
Yeah. I am not accepting of sex with robots. Okay. It doesn't make any sense. What is better than the caress of an actual human?
Whoa. This is not the Satin Knights radio show.
Is he okay? Sure,
let me get the Isaac Hayes
studio over there.
Rob, can you get Isaac Hayes? Play Isaac Hayes track while he's talking.
It's like all of a sudden it got kind of like dark.
The caress. Hey, the caress.
Nothing's better than the caress.
The caress.
Of a female.
The caress of a human hand on your thigh.
You want to continue that thought, Derek?
Well, what's better, the human hand or old metal arm,
a plastic robot hand,
a plastic robot
on your,
hand
on your bum?
Hey, I always go with Derek's line, right? Derek always says, girl, if you got the curves, I got the angle. You know what I mean? That's what he says.
I have never said that in my life, although that's a fantastic one.
Talk binary to me, baby.
Yeah.
0101 0101 0101, Derek. I want you. Ooh, nice bold, Derek. Are those white jockey shorts you're wearing?
How is that sexy?
Yeah, but look, Jones. So look how this goes, though. You don't have to, like, do the cuddling and stuff afterwards, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
true. You just go over and you hit the off button.
Right. You don't have to waste your time going left or right or bumbling or any of that other stuff. You didn't just you cut to the chase. It's it's like going to the drive-thru window.
You don't like the spoon, so, right? Like, you told me that.
Wow.
It's okay.
Is your mom going to listen to this episode?
Subscribe to the Exit 58 Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher by searching Exit 58 Podcast.
Hey, boy, would you meet me on the roof tonight? I got a surprise for you.
Back here on the JMRA Podcast, of course, check in with your friends at the Exit 58 Podcast. Exit 58 Podcast on Twitter. As they have a good old time on their podcast, on social media. They're on Instagram, too. So if you get a chance, check them out. That will just about do it for our podcast this week. Remember, we'll be back later on in the week with a Week 2 preview as, really, we start to get in the high gear in the fall. Love the fall. Need cool weather here, stat. Tired of the hot weather, man. And next week, to boot, I'm running a half marathon, so I might be asleep by the time I try to do a podcast next Sunday night at the end of the Week 2 games. Nonetheless, we'll be here. It'll be a good time. You can check us out on Twitter, at Joe M's Right Arm. We're on the blog, of course, joemontanasrightarm.com, as we have a few stories up in relationship to the action on Sunday afternoon. Also on Facebook by simply searching Joe Montana's Right Arm. Until next time, folks, enjoy your Monday Night Football games, a doubleheader. I almost forgot to mention that. Rams and 49ers, the nightcap, and Steelers-Redskins, the early game on Monday night. Anyhow, until next time, happy football, everybody.